Home. They say it's where the heart is. They also say it's wherever you make it. They don't say. It's where you unload your stuff, get tired halfway through unpacking, use some boxes as furniture, realize your oven mitt's in a box that doubles as a nightstand, don't want to buy a new nightstand, and use a towel as an oven mitt instead. But no matter where you call home, GEICO makes it easy to bundle and save on renters and car insurance. Easier than grabbing a piping hot pan with a towel that's a bit too thin and trying to quickly get it to the counter. Ooh, hot, 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 hot.
Introducing Under Armour's Infinity High Sports Bra. Its ergonomic design is molded to support the natural movement of your body. With cord-out padding, the better breathability eliminates extra bulk without sacrificing support. And quick-dry padding is Under Armour's fastest-drying padding yet. When you're lifting heavy, running fast, and pushing yourself further than ever before, you need a bra that will help you go that extra mile and make you feel your best. Shop the Infinity High Sports Bra now at UA.com.
You know, it's a Thursday, but it feels like a Tuesday, and I appreciate the energy Javi's bringing right off the bat.
It does not feel like a Tuesday. Why are you drinking? Send some of that cannabis.
No.
Whatever strain it is.
I won't tell you what brand, but I am an old pat. No, I'm kidding. But with that, guys, welcome to Cannabis Insider. We're here for another time. If you missed our episode Tuesday, we had the CEO of Aconda, one of the leading international cannabis companies. We talked to, who was it? Was it Brad? Or we talked to another CEO right after that. I mean, the CEO is all over the place. It was great. And we're not done. We're going to do it again today. And this is what we do here at Cannabis Insider. But first and foremost, we like to talk news. Cannabis Insider talks news. And Javier, nobody does it better than you.
Well, I love that. Honestly, I have, before getting into markets, I have like an endearing story, and it's just a headline. I won't tell you the full story, but you remember Brittany Griner, right?
Yes.
WNBA superstar. She was detained in Russia, actually imprisoned in Russia, of all places right now, because she was caught with a cannabis dropper. And now she has some pen pals. She's been sending and receiving emails from different people.
Great.
And she said that is kind of what's kind of keeping her sane. I don't know. Very endearing story. I love that, right? Like, you know, the little things that can keep us afloat in a difficult situation.
Well, I hope she knows she has a whole boatload of cannabis advocates behind her. Javi, just as a clarification, man, you know, you who know this story probably a little bit better than I and some other onlookers perceptively, you know, when you look at Russia's cannabis laws and weed laws, would it have been as severe had it not been the time that she was arrested, aka after the Ukraine invasion? And the U.S. backing Ukraine.
Probably. Yeah, very, very, very likely it would be the same. They're not particularly tolerant in terms of cannabis. They're not flexible. And especially with people coming from abroad. But I think like it's more of a general thing. They're not very open to cannabis right now, which says a lot about a country, because even the Taliban is you know, toying with cannabis nowadays.
Middle East is getting bigger. I mean, Aconda is talking Middle East now. We're having a lot of these international companies talk Middle East. Where I'm sure we'll see the likes of, the IM Cannabis and Intercures of the world, look to control that region as well. So that's going to be interesting. Yeah. But
I mean, the Middle East and Asia as well, right? We heard from Thailand recently, right? They're making big bets on cannabis. The government is giving away 1 million cannabis plants for free for people to grow at home. And just yesterday, actually, the government punished two cops for arresting a woman who had one plant. So they arrested a woman for one plant, and then the government was like, you stupid, stupid cops.
Wait, Javi,
wasting our resources. This will teach you.
That's fantastic. I love that. Now let's talk about the exact opposite happening in Virginia.
Oh my God.
did that get signed into law today? I know the General Assembly in Virginia passed a budget bill, I believe, that also included if you are carrying over 4 ounces of marijuana or 4 ounces or more of marijuana in public, that is a misdemeanor. If you get caught twice, that's a hefty fine plus 6 months jail time.
That so is ridiculous.
Kenya going backward. What is going on, man?
You know what is not ridiculous? Something happening in the markets. Tilt Holdings, TLLTF, partnered with Ricky Williams's cannabis brand, Heisman, a word, you know, a play on words with his Heisman trophy, to distribute the products. I think it was Massachusetts. I forgot now. Why did I bring this up?
Massachusetts. Yeah. Yeah, in Massachusetts. I'm relatively positive. I love this partnership, though. You look at Tilt, TLLTF on the OTC. They are partnering. They're a brand maker. They are a pick and shovel multi-state operator. We talked to Gary all the time. We talked to him again. Actually, that was Tuesday, that recording. But they are supporting Her Highness. They're helping that brand thrive. They're going to support Heisman.
All minority or women-owned brands. That is... Mm-hmm. I know something to be commended, and also it talks about their good taste, the brands they are selecting. And I'm not saying this, you know, as an endorsement or not to Tilt, but they're picking the brands that I like personally.
They're solid brands, and Heisman has great leadership. I'm a big fan of Eric. You know, Ricky Williams, of course, you can't ignore him. And then Her Highness, I think they have been as active as any East Coast and New York brand. In my opinion, I can't think of one that's been more active than them. And probably a little bit thanks to Tilt, too. One last news item in. What else we got?
Let's talk markets. One more. Aurora Cannabis, ACB on the NASDAQ, closed at $172.5 million bought deal financing.
I mean, I love it. Like, I mean, I don't love it, but I also love it. So, you know, I think they had to. They got to get some cash flow. And this seems like a positive to me. Hobby?
I'm looking at the price, $245, and, you know, trying to understand on Benzinga Pro. One of the things that I always look at when looking at bought deals is how much of a discount or a premium did people pay for the stock.
Fair enough.
In this case, it's interesting that they sold the units at $245 per unit. When the stock is at 158, so let's see at what the units included. Wow. Because I'm sure there's more than one share right in these units.
Shout out to Money Mitch.
Yeah,
big supporter. Love you, man. And Ricky, you know what? We're looking at it. You know, we love Heisman. We talk to them all the time. But also, stay tuned maybe for some NBA action at our next event. We might have some awesome athletes at this event. And we just released this morning the official setting of the next Benzinga Cannabis Capital Conference. Miami, April 20th and 21st, was one of the best business-to-business events in the industry to date. Ask anybody who went. We were thrilled with it. Next one up is September 13th and 14th at the Palmer House in Chicago. Get your tickets now. Get them much cheaper than you would anywhere else. Any other time, they're going to get more expensive. Now is the time. So bzcannabis.com, we already have 21 of awesome companies signed up. We'll probably have 150 before it's all said and done. But Javi, back to you about Aurora.
No, that's about it. I was just looking at the details, and it seems like a pretty bullish bet, right? Like each unit, it's still 245 is comprised of one common share right now trading at 158, and one common share purchase warrant exercisable in for a 36-month period at a 320 per share exercise price. So it really does seem like a pretty bullish bet on.
And I mean, $172 million in the bank. They have great COGS, cost savings activations coming up that ideally should be coming up, I should say, in the next 12 or so months. Blind Trader, what's up? How's it going? We have some awesome interviews and we need to get to them. Super fun. Javi, why don't you bring us in on the first one, brother?
Yes, sir. Today, our first guest is Ron Gershoni. He's the founder and CEO of Jetty Extracts. I was talking about brands I love. Here's a brand I definitely love. Aaron, it's all you.
I think we're doing Peter, actually. I think that's the wrong one. We're going to try this again. We're going to do Dr. Peter Husson. A backbone IQ and awesome cannabis supply chain company. I let Javi take the reins and you blew it. You blew it.
That's why you do the intros. That's why you do the hellos. That's why you do all that.
Well, Aaron, bring on Dr. Husson. Let's go. Peter, how you doing, man? We can't decide if you're on or not.
Hey, I think we will all agree that the Jetty solvent list is the name of the game here in California these days. So props to where that's due.
Hey, maybe we should do like a little 30-second panel at the end of your interview.
Oh, yeah. I saw Ron just celebrating that one. Peter said that and Ron was like, yeah, on the back.
Peter, it's good to have you, my friend. Also, is it Houston?
Houston.
Houston. I was overcomplicating it. Nice to meet you. Tell us about you. Tell us about Backbone.
My name is Peter Houston. I am a CEO here at Backbone. I got here in a very roundabout way. I got my PhD in structural engineering, focused on the effects of bombs on buildings and our nuclear arsenal. Someone thought it was a good idea to give a scholarship to someone to go to New Mexico and make sure that all that nuclear arsenal that we built during the Cold War was doing okay. Good thing it's doing fine. So don't worry about that. And after about 11 years of school, Department of Defense, Department of Offense, depending on how you look at it, really said, how can I get as far away from that as possible? And got into actually music festivals. I had been putting on events for a long time, your buddies and whatnot. And we used to go to an event right on the border of Mendocino, Humboldt, called Reggae on the River. And when that stopped in about 2009, graduated from with my PhD, I said, man, we got to bring that back. And so we went up there, knocked on some doors, which, by the way, you're not really supposed to go up to Mendocino and Humboldt and just knock on doors. That's not really what you should be doing. But luckily we got to the right person and we started a boutique small music festival, started to get permits in the area. The cool thing, it's on the county, right? Right in the county line, half of it's in Mendocino, half it's in Humboldt. So you kind of get dual conditional use permits and you kind of get to play like mom said yes and dad said yes and kind of get find the middle ground there. And if you guys know a little bit about here in California, right, Prop 215, obviously, mm-hmm. During those times, right, 2013, 14, 15, that was still going on. And these 215 zones started to pop out at events, right, where you could kind of have some brands, get some sponsors, and, you still kind of put it out into the corner where no one would, like, bother you. No one would get too much press on you, et cetera. But then when, legalization started to take place in about 2015, 2016, because I had been getting permits for the music festival and a lot of the local growers and teams there were like, hey, Peter, you talk to the cops and the board of supervisors and the people that we don't want to, like, you go deal with them for us. And so started to get permits.
No one wants to do compliance. You want to join our teams?
Well, I mean, I think this gets back to it, man. I mean, anytime the government's trying to infringe on your water rights, who owns your water, right, the way that you do day to day, I think for me, that's more than the time I like to get in there and say, hold on a minute, like, let's look at this and let's maybe use my skill sets to kind of assist the people in that. And obviously, that's an interest in the industry. So that was when I started doing it. I got about 55 state licenses on my own here in the state. Across the board, shout out to Madrone and Off the Grid up there. Some of the guys who really, opened the door for me to come in and kind of learn the ins and outs of the industry. That's when it became very, very clear to us that there was going to be a bottleneck, right? If you guys know the history of it, the classic way was farm to club, right? I remember one guy me asking, how did it get there? And everyone's looking at me like, what do you mean, how does it get there, dude? Right? Like, so when all of these licenses in the middle of the supply chain started to pop up, it was very clear processing, manufacturing, distribution, it was a new thing and there was going to be a bottleneck there. Moreover, manufacturing, contract manufacturing, because of the banking in this industry, I don't know if you guys know, running trim up and down the state in this industry, doing splits with a garage manufacturer and saying, here, I'll be back in 2 weeks, you're going to give me 50% back in a handshake. That's how it used to go, right? But at the end of the day, that was bartering and those, technically in ERP world, we'll call it inventory held on behalf of others. right? That was the interesting kind of problem space that we really started to see that there could be potential there. So we actually started a small venture fund, raised about $25 million, called Mesh Ventures. We looked at operators specifically in the middle of the supply chain and the brands, because that's where the brands live. And that's, you know, when we first started doing due diligence, I was a compliance officer there. I started to do due diligence and, you know, good luck, cost of goods, inventory, valuations, but you know the revenue's there, right? And that's very clear to people. Mm-hmm. And so that's when it was, you know, I met Rajesh, our CEO here, long history of startups in the AI ML space. Most recently, early acquisition by LinkedIn when they saw how much data they were ingesting. And, you know, we said, hey, do you want to check this out? And he started to look at it and say, well, there's a lot of data there. That's an interesting problem to solve. Well, you know, why don't we just throw NetSuite in there and, you know, all of the investees will be fine. As you guys know, that's not possible. So we brought in some of the other developers from that old project and we built a prototype for a few of the manufacturers this is 2019, 2018, 2019. And then it started to spread like wildfire that we had this cost of goods engine that people wanted to use. And, you know, the rest is history. I'm here 5 years later. And, you know, this industry is small, man.
So, you know, just for in layman's terms, what does Backbone do nowadays? And how do you land a partnership with cookies? And I think that is also a very interesting aspect of what you're doing right now.
Yeah, what we're trying to do is we're filling the gap between the seed to sale and the ERP space, right? Everyone uses those words very, very lightly, right? And at the end of the day, for us, there's a balance between pleasing your finance team, you know, and there's bigger players here on the CFO levels now, versus, you know, getting something in the hands of your operators that feels like them, you know, graveyard shift guys get their hands on something. You know, how often do people forget about the graveyard shift, right? Mm-hmm. And so that's kind of like that balance that we've been trying to find. And we've had a lot of success in, you know, connecting with operators and at the same time, you know, surprisingly talking to some CFOs who are impressed that we know what we're talking about. Just in the sense of, you know, we're living a perpetual inventory world here, and that's not obvious to a lot of people. That's an incredibly difficult task in any industry to get operators to be doing perpetual inventory. So that's been the name of the game, that sweet spot in the middle, and now really just focusing on the beauty of this decentralized supply chain that is cannabis, and continuing to, you know, step by step, gain more traction, and you know, now international. I'm very excited. We passed, one of our clients in the UK passed their MHRA inspection 2 weeks ago, which was a big deal. That's the FDA in the UK. And next Monday, we've got our first GMP inspection by Infarmed, which is in Portugal. So we're having some fun across the pond right now and kind of continuing to flex the technical muscles, if you will.
Can you talk to me a little bit about the difference between your software, your seed to sale tracking, and then the gap you're filling versus, like, you know, some of the main names we talk about maybe on a daily basis on a stock show that are public, like an Akerna, like a BioTrack. You know, like it seems to me like you're working with some pretty cool operators. So what's the pain point right now in seed to sale?
Well, first, we take it. It's a little insulting to call us a seed to sale system. I'm just kidding. we'll take it, right? It's a word production system. And I think at the end of the day, the trick is that being able, what we do is we model your process precisely. And what's happened, because we started in manufacturing where all of these transformations are happening, we are very focused on those conversions or transformations, where a lot of the seed-to-sale systems are very interested in just the inventory. But if you look at an individual transformation that has your inventory, your inputs and your outputs, but all of the qualitative information that goes into creating these products and creating these, you know, master batch records, if you will, to be a dork about it. But at the end of the day, right, being able to do that in such a way in which you are compliant by default and you are actually calculating true costs by default just because you're tracking your process precisely, it's been very cool to see that those two things, instead of building something to meet financial requirements or meet compliance requirements, you do you, and the byproduct is that you meet those two. And so it's a single kind of pane of glass, single system of record that can handle that. And I think that's been the biggest pain point, right? You get some of these, I'd say, I'm not going to put any names out there, but some of these off-the-shelf legacy ERPs, and most of the names that you guys just said are pretty legacy guys. I think there's a lot more in terms of what's happening today in the technology space. But I'd say that, you know, finance loves them, but good luck getting an operator to ever touch the thing, right, on the ERP side. And on the seed to sale side, you have the exact opposite, right? Which is, well, we built it over the regulatory system and, you know, we're going to tack on some cost of goods. You don't tack on cost of goods into an enterprise financial system. So that's the balance. And what's really funny about this, guys, is that you get some pretty hard-nosed finance folks in this industry who say, you know, they're coming from other industries and saying, I need standard costing, average cost. I need all of the costing and I need it all perfect. And, you know, we need you guys need to show us how to do that. And then you go kind of under the surface a little bit and they're barely ready for like QuickBooks. Right. And so that's kind of like the balance between all of this. And, but meeting them where they're at is the name of the game. Right. And this is cannabis, man, from an inclusion standpoint, like there's so much history here. And if you don't meet them and meet folks, especially operators, boots on the ground where they're at, you're not going to do it. And so that's the other piece I just want to mention is like, we're experiencing this a lot here at Backbone right now. This trying to like bring cannabis culture and technology culture together, like it's difficult fundamentally already, right? But like to go out into the world and try to do that, I think we're really taking a lot of time like internally to get that right, right? Because it's kind of hard. Like our team is that blend and we're still working those kinks out to really be able to get out there and do that across an organization.
You know, so just really quickly, one last thought here. You know, the reason we mention that is because that's what a lot of our investors see on the front face, you know, on the stock market. There's not a lot of opportunity for them to invest in the cool technology yet that seems like they're out there. So, you know, taking that a step further, what can investors do to understand that the operators they're investing in? So we'll put the other legacy tech aside.
Yeah.
What can they look at for, say, a Cookies if they're public, or say an institutional investor investing in a private company you work with? How do they know that they're working with the right technology companies and that they're being efficient about their costs and their services?
Well, what's the holy grail here, right? Profitability by strain, right? I mean, at the end of the day, right? And so, you know, I have had a couple really strong operators from some of the larger MSOs, two of them specifically, they caught on to this. And they said, you know what? I get that. I get financial reconciliation, but I'm really interested in cannabinoid reconciliation, meaning that all of the biomass that came in at that potency and that cannabinoid profile, if you add up everything that was created at the end of the product, they should reconcile, meaning like how much did you squeeze out of it. And so it's been really interesting to kind of see operators think that way.
Perfect. Peter, honestly, man, not enough time. It seems like you guys deserve more, but my friend, this is a great introduction to Backbone. Let's connect again. Let's hear about a little bit more about your partnership with Cookies and more about what you're doing.
Let me give you guys one shout out before. Northern Nights, the music festival I talked about, we are about to be the very first music festival this summer up in Mendocino, Humboldt. It's going to sell cannabis dispensaries at every single stage.
I know.
Wow.
So awesome. If you guys want to come out, northernnights.org, we just announced a lineup too. And so, you know, shout out to everybody. The reason Backbone's here, imagine that, is because some kids want to do a music festival up in the woods. So here we are, and continue to go. And more power to you guys for keeping to push the industry forward, man. Thank you both.
Hey, thank you so much, Dr. Houston. I appreciate it. I can talk, I promise. Peter, thanks again, man. We'll talk to you soon. Backbone IQ. Peace. Awesome, you guys. Really cool introduction to Backbone. I would imagine we're going to hear a lot more from them. Seems they're doing super cool things with some pretty awesome companies. Let's move right on. My guy, Mitch, I hope you don't mind us going about 5 minutes over today because we have another super cool interview here. It is with Ron Gershoni, founder and CEO of Jetty Extracts. You may know them because they were just acquired by NASDAQ-listed Canopy, CGC. Aaron, bring him over, bro. Ron, what's up, man? Welcome in.
Hey guys, thanks for having me.
Oh, it's a pleasure. It's a pleasure. Sweet hat. Do we have someone to wait for us? I mean,
send me your address.
Oh, he's like, oh, you put me on point in the interview here, man. Tell us about.
And by the way, thanks for having me on right after the nuclear physicist who puts on reggae on the river. Great. I'll do my best to follow that up.
Well, here's a funny thing. Usually people talk about growing cannabis and they go like, it's not rocket science. What Jetty does is a little bit like rocket science. It is a rocket science weed for sure. So tell us about Jetty.
Well, I appreciate the intro from 10 minutes ago and your kind words now, as well as the doctors. And so we started Jetty in 2013 in San Diego. Myself and my co-founders, all transplants from the East Coast. My partner Nate had owned a dispensary, was starting to see concentrates really coming on and taking over shelves. Vape had just kind of hit the market. And we tried some and it kind of blew our minds how easy to use it was, how kind of convenient. And, you know, these guys were just like, we can make these. And I'd been a cannabis recreational consumer for 20 years, really enjoy the plant. My father had just become a medical patient, kind of consuming daily to help him sleep. And it kind of opened my eyes to this other side of the market. And so we just jumped in. I put some of my own money in. I had a bunch of different businesses I had started. I owned some real estate, sold it, bought a 5-liter Apex supercritical CO2 machine. We started trying to do some extraction, and it was, you know, just in a garage. We kind of just started building it up, and we always believed that if we could make a great product, something that we would want to buy, and if it looks good on the shelf, that brands ultimately would become a huge opportunity in the space. And for the last 9 years, I hear people talking about brands all the time. But I think that, you know, the real brand thesis is still yet to come when brands really start having some power and some real ability to scale. I think that's what's in front of us.
Yeah, I love that you're still alive after that garage setup too. Honestly, I've heard all kinds of horror stories. I know CO2 is not as crazy as butane, but they're both, you know, a bit, you know, on the dangerous side if you're not doing them 100% right. Sorry, I let you go.
You know. Oh, man. So, Ron, let's dive into the obvious question here and then go a little bit further into Jetty. Tell us about how Jetty is going to fold in. Let's stay Jetty-centric here about what you built. But as Canopy has, you know, looking to acquire you, what happens to Jetty, the brand you built, the product you built?
So Canopy has actually not acquired Jetty. Canopy has acquired a right to acquire Jetty. We are still fully independently operated. We have full control of the business. You know, we have the same board of directors. So, you know, Canopy made this decision because they're really bullish on brands. And as you know, about 6 months ago, they made a very similar deal with Wana, who continues to be independently operated. At some future date, I know that Constellation has a vision 10 years down the road that the growth for that business is going to come from cannabis. They do really well in beer and in wine and in spirits. But you know, it's in the future, there's going to be a day where kind of all of those alcohol brands and all of the cannabis brands are all under one umbrella. You know, for the time being, we're keeping the same team. We now have resources and capital to really be more aggressive in the market to push out more product. And, you know, one of our core missions from day one is to get high quality cannabis product to as many people as possible. And we have never set foot outside of California. You know, even within California, we're a top 10 brand across all categories, but there's a lot of room for us to grow and get more distribution. You know, we're also looking at bringing our product into other markets. Canada, where Canopy obviously has their own licensing, is a great opportunity. We're also really excited about some of the potential for some of the East Coast markets, like New York and New Jersey. I'm from New Jersey. My partners are from New York. So we have a pretty big network. Those markets are pretty exciting. But really, what this means for us now is we can actually make some investments in building up our team, in continuing to work on innovation and R&D. You know, this our solventless product is doing really, really well. We're super proud of it. It's been winning awards. It's been growing in a market where there's really very little growth. So we're going to continue to double down on getting that product out there and on working on, you know, whatever's coming next.
Super cool. I mean, you say you haven't set foot out of California. I mean, maybe legally. A lot of people I know love the product. I'm not going to say anything to get you in trouble. But Like, when are you going? Like, you said you're looking at Canada. When are you coming to South America? My friends all over are asking, you know, when are you getting some of that good stuff?
So, are you
international, Canada, are you in Europe, South America at all? Because people are really demanding this suddenly. Overnight, like in the last year and a half, concentrates didn't exist before that. And suddenly overnight, people are like, this is the good stuff. And everyone has a Puffco and everyone is looking for the best of this. So
it's a great question, Javi. Our products are sold in many other markets, just not by us. So, I mean, what's crazy is you can go to a dispensary in California and buy our products for $60, $70 and sell them for 2 to 3 times that through black market channels in New York or South America or other places. And there are people doing that. So, you know, we want to kind of scale up and bring our products there. But, you know, we've learned one of the reasons we're only in California to date with Jetty as a brand and with our manufacturing is because it's such a hard industry. It's so, so challenging. California is, I believe, the most competitive, most challenging market in cannabis. And if we take our eye off the ball too quickly, and, you know, I've seen a lot of companies try to go into a lot of markets and they're all a little bit different. You know, you have to really be ready and stable and resourced. And we are now all of those things. So, you know, we're actively talking to Canopy, who's our new partner, about bringing our products to Canada. We're having those conversations. Really excited about how much they've invested in R&D. They have a ton of scientists, a huge amount of lab work they've done that's like way above, you know, everything we do is kind of in our 13,000 foot facility. It's very much like a craft distillery type vibe where we're, you know, we've got our heads in barrels and we're doing a lot of tinkering. And I think what we have is this outlet into the market where we can test things, we can try them out really quickly, we can get them into consumers' hands and learn a lot very quickly from the work we're doing. But I'm really excited to be kind of working together with Canopy on the product innovation side. You know, as far as other markets like South America, that's not in probably the 2-year plan at this point. You know, we're gonna stay pretty tight. Like California is gonna remain our number one focus. That's where our team is. That's where our heart is. And I believe that the biggest and strongest brands globally are going to come out of California. So Canada, a couple of the East Coast markets, that's really where we're looking as far as expansion outside of California in the next 12 to 24 months.
Where does the product that you use, where does it come from to make these extracts, and how do you choose it? I'm actually curious to know your process leading in to how you make the good brand, the good, you know, the product that you're known for. How do you choose where it comes from?
So it depends how deep you want to go, but you know, your prior guest was talking about transporting trim throughout the state. So, you know, years ago in the 215 days, we were doing exactly what he talked about. You know, we'd go visit farms. We would kind of check out the product. We would buy trim. And that was most of what we used to make different kinds of distillate products. Everything was cash. You know, it was a very, very interesting industry, you know, 10 years ago. A lot was based on trust and relationships. And we worked with dozens and dozens of farmers, you know, almost on a monthly basis to kind of find the right product. You know, we started out, as I said, with CO2. We have moved into ethanol, into hydrocarbon, and now most of what we're doing is solventless extraction, which starts with a cold water extraction, an ice water extraction. And everything that we're pretty much doing now is fresh frozen material. So what that means is that the farmers are freezing the harvest within an hour of letting it down, and it stays frozen right up until we go into our extraction process. And what that allows for is a much broader terpene profile. Yeah. So you have a lot of different flavors and aromas that exist in the living plant that we're able to get into that concentrated form that evaporate through the drying and curing process when you're trying to create jarred flower. So we work with farms ranging from down in the Santa Barbara area up to Lake County. You know, we have a few different partners. Most of what we're sourcing right now actually comes from the Santa Cruz region. We We have a really, really high quality grower. They're actually looking at getting OCal certified, which we're excited about. That's a new organic certification. But we have a tight relationship. We have very high standards for what we run because the finished product is 100% based on the starting material. And for our solventless product, we start with the fresh frozen flour, and all we do is remove things from it. And that's what goes into our cartridge. That's what goes into our rosin jars. We don't add anything at all to any of those products. And we also don't use any chemicals. So what's in our solventless vape cart, what's in our solventless products is the cleanest possible vape and extract product that you can find anywhere in the world. And it tastes really, really good as well.
And, you know, this might seem like a small detail, the fresh, the flash freeze. But the fact is, in a product that is so taste heavy, it's super important, right? When people who are not familiar with concentrates, with dabbing, ask me what it is, the best way I find to describe it is it's the only instance where cannabis smells, tastes like it smells, right? You smell a fresh bud. And when you burn it in a joint, it changes completely. It doesn't have that rich, you know, taste of fruit and whatever, but the concentrates, the extracts, they do. So go check out Jetty. Ron, thank you so much for joining us at Benzinga Cannabis Insider. And we hope to have you on sometime very soon.
Ron, thanks so much, man.
Appreciate you guys having me, and I love what you guys are doing, so keep it up.
Thanks again, Ron. Appreciate it. That's cool. Jetty Extracts. Honestly, it makes me want to go to northernnights.org and have some Jetty. That's kind of what I'm getting at here. We'll go to the Backbone Music Festival, and we'll indulge in Jetty.
That is perfect, man. And I like the face that you did, like when I explained concentrates. Oh, that's actually good.
Didn't know that. Actually, that sounds good.
It's really awesome. You smell a bud. It smells so fresh, so whatever. And then you burn it, and it's like, I don't know. Smoking is not really great.
Slab all day. We got Enver, we got Mitch, Wine Trader. Thanks everybody for tuning in. This is Cannabis Insider. Really appreciate it. Sorry we ran over today again. But y'all have a great weekend. We will see you again for a full week next week. BZCannabis.com to join us in Chicago for our September Cannabis Capital Conference. Maybe some NBA, maybe some NFL, maybe some celebrity participation along with every major public company and private company in the game. It's where it'll be.
84% of the total cannabis market cap was at our last conference. Just as a little tidbit, I was running some math the other day, and I was checking at all the top publicly traded companies, checking their valuations. Turns out all of them, except for three or four, were at the last conference. 84% of the complete market cap.
Whew. That's a
have at it.
Join us. And I agree, Money Mitch. Let's do a terpene episode. With that, we're way over. Apologies. Thank you for staying with us. Aaron Thomas, take us out. Peace, y'all.
Home. They say it's where the heart is. They also say it's wherever you make it. They don't say it's where you unload your stuff, get tired halfway through unpacking, use some boxes as furniture, realize your oven mitt's in a box that doubles as a nightstand, don't want to buy a new nightstand, and use a towel as an oven mitt instead. But no matter where you call home, Geico makes it easy to bundle and save on renters and car insurance. Easier than grabbing a piping hot pan with a towel that's a bit too thin and trying to quickly get it to the counter. Ooh, hot, 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 hot.
Karen is the proven expert in addiction treatment. A recent independent study showed that 94% of Karen patients were still in recovery 90 days post-treatment. Visit caron.org/real. Karen, real results, real care, real about recovery.
This episode is brought to you by Verizon. Get a Verizon Business Unlimited plan from the network businesses rely on.
Hey, Monica, with 5G Ultra Wideband in many more cities, you get up to 10 times the speed at no extra cost.
Hello, downloads in no time.
Plus, unlimited premium data and hotspot data to keep the signal flowing and your teams going. Come in or book an appointment with a Verizon business expert to find the right plan for your team. 5G Ultra Wideband available in over 1,700 cities with Business Unlimited Pro 2.0 smartphone plan. Speed comparison is to median Verizon 4G LTE speeds. Download speeds may vary depending upon network and coverage conditions and content optimization for 5G Ultra Wideband.
Jeep Freedom Days are here, where right now, well-qualified returning FCA lessees get a low-mileage lease on the 2022 Grand Cherokee WK Laredo E4x4 for $369 a month for 36 months with $3,799 due at signing. Tax, title, license extra. No security deposit required. Call 1-888-925-JEEP for details. Requires dealer contribution, a lease to Chrysler Capital. Lessee is responsible for termination fees. Current lease must end by 7/3/23. Extra charge for miles over 30,000. Residency restrictions apply. Take delivery by 7/5/22. Jeep is a registered trademark.